Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: vocation, calling, and election. Chapter 5. Several facets of one same calling and the diversity of callings. The theme of vocation, calling, and election, in some situations, may seem complex. However, this complexity can often be associated with a lack of dedication to a broader and global understanding of some basic aspects related to it. Some people tend to address only a specific or unique aspect of a theme and give some detail a weight of exclusivity as if a single point were the global aspect of the subject, doing so, however, to the detriment of the perception and understanding of the bigger picture involved in the respective matter. Thus, in some groups of Christians or who claim to be Christians, there is often exaggerated weight given to the aspect of a specific calling that a person should discover and perform, causing many people to ask each other questions such as, "What is your calling? What did God call a brother or sister for? Has the brother or sister already discovered one's calling?" and so on. And in these scenarios that only focus on the specific, many individuals get so absorbed with the idea of having a distinctive and personal calling that they forget to live out the main aspects of God's general calling for their lives, the general vocation that God extends to all people who came to reach the condition of new creatures in Christ Jesus, through the grace of God and faith in the Lord. In previous chapters, we have already mentioned the emphasis that Paul gives to the prize and the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, showing the essential condition that these aspects should have in the life of every Christian. In the previous chapters, we also addressed the emphasis that the Heavenly Father Himself shows us about the eternal purpose that exists in all the callings that come from Him, which is to converge all things in Christ, and that every Christian comes to cooperate so that in everything one acts being in the Lord and the Lord in the Christian. And if a Christian only observed the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus and the life according to the eternal purpose of the Lord for people according to His goodness in Christ Jesus, this Christian would already have an enormity of aspects to be known and experienced, and concerning which, one could have the highest hopes. Considering that the upward calling of God and the eternal purpose that God purposed in Christ Jesus are the basis of all other callings of Christians, and that they are the aspects that give support, credibility, and purpose to the diversity of other specific callings, it is first in living and walking in the sovereign calling and eternal purpose of God that a Christian should place one's attention. Some people may come to aspire to a specific calling from God so much, because they also think that it is because of this calling that God will bless them in their lives, that they may fail to realize that it is because of God's upward calling and eternal purpose in Christ Jesus that they can be blessed in the Lord. God teaches us that the gifts we need for life are in Christ Jesus and are given or conferred to us along with Him, for in Christ is the novelty of life and not in a specific calling. Although a specific calling may be an instrument that will contribute to the manifestation of the newness of life received from God and may cooperate for remaining in this life, life itself is not in a particular calling to be performed by a person. It is in the global, general, upward, or sovereign calling to eternal life and in aligning oneself with the purpose of converging the personal life to the Lordship of Christ that provision is found for all aspects of life according to the will of the Lord, and, once again, not in a specific vocation or calling, according to some more texts below. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In Christ is the provision of life, the provision to be called to a specific vocation, and the provision to live and walk in it. It is in the upward calling to eternal life in Christ, as well as in God's eternal purpose to be and abide in Christ, that the provision for life and specific callings is found, and not in the particular callings themselves, as if grace could result of human works. Under the law of Moses, the performance of the works of this law preceded the receiving of God's salvation. However, in the life in Christ Jesus, which is according to the grace of the Lord and not the works of human efforts, heavenly grace precedes works. It is the grace of the Lord that gives wisdom, understanding, strength, and provision for doing works according to the law of Christ and not according to the law of Moses. 2 Corinthians 9, 8-9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Thus, when a person understands that it is by the grace of God that one is sustained, including being called to specific works, and not that the fulfillment of specific callings guarantees grace, this person may also more readily understand that the sovereign calling and the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus should have one's principal or first attention. For it is from abiding in the sovereign and supreme aspects that the other aspects of one's life in conformity with the will of God derive. The possibility that a person can participate in other specific callings of God, in addition to the sovereign calling to eternal life and to keep oneself attentive to the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus, as being the fruit of God's grace and goodness, is also a topic addressed more widely in the theme Works, Labors, and Services, and from which we recall the following text. Ephesians 2, 8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. On the other hand, the lack of knowledge of the sovereign calling and the eternal purpose of God, as well as the excessive appreciation of specific callings, have been some of the main aspects that cooperate to distance people from what is fundamental and most necessary for their lives. By not holding on to the aspect that in the same and unique general, global, upward, or sovereign calling of God there is already an enormity of facets included in it, even for each of the particular callings that God extends to His children, many people have surrendered to the most diverse and bizarre attempts to find or validate some kind of specific calling in their lives. For lack of knowledge of the sovereign calling or even resistance to the eternal purpose of God in converging all things to the Lordship of Christ Jesus, people themselves or in reciprocity to each other entitle, name, and consecrate themselves to the most diverse callings, thinking that by the callings they claim to have reached they will be blessed by the Lord, even if they live and walk in opposition to the Lordship of Christ in their lives. The diversity of specific callings that does not come from abiding and continuing in the sovereign or upward calling of God and the eternal purpose of the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus does not come from the heavenly kingdom or the eternal Lord, referring, instead, to fleshly and corrupted attempts related to what is called another gospel or a different gospel, and not according to the gospel of the Creator. Under the allegation of being serving the eternal Lord but dissociated from the upward calling and the eternal purpose of God in converging all things to the Lordship of Christ Jesus, many people even present themselves as apostles or special anointed ones of Christ, seeking to separate the people in clergy and laity, as if by these distinctions they were of greater worth than others before God. However, this type of proposition ends up falling back into models that try to establish mediators between God and people, whose practice had any validity revoked by the Heavenly Father when He revealed His beloved Son to the world as the only mediator between God and all human beings, as exemplified by the following texts. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Matthew 24:23-26. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There," do not believe it. For false Christs, or anointed, and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore if they say to you, "Look, he is in the desert," do not go out, or "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. If the prize of the upward vocation of God for people is salvation and fellowship with Christ Jesus, and the eternal purpose of God is to converge everyone in Christ Jesus, why would God again establish men, women, temples, or houses so that through these aspects people would have to come to Him, or so that they again would need to come to Him through an indirect way? In manifesting His eternal purpose to the world, which is to attract all by His everlasting love to be willingly in Christ Jesus, God would not establish something that was contrary to His supreme purpose. God would not remove an imperfect and weak model, as was the model of the priesthood in conformity with the law of Moses, because it was based on men as mediators, to establish an equally imperfect model again. By not understanding the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus, or by resisting it in order not to find themselves in the light of the Lord and under the lordship of Christ, people adopt mentalities of calling similar to those revoked by the Lord many centuries ago. Through Christ Jesus, God introduced and began to offer the new covenant of life, which also implies entirely new criteria for callings or vocations. Hebrews 9:15. And for this reason He is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews 7:18-19. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect; on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. It is only through the superior hope, through the sovereign calling, or in conformity with the eternal purpose of God to converge all things in Christ Jesus, that a person can truly reach the prize of the upward calling, which is to have Christ in the heart so that one can also remain in Him to enjoy the newness of life granted by the eternal Heavenly Father. Colossians 1:27-28. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The upward calling to be in Christ Jesus is what allows a person to live the reconciliation with the Heavenly Father, and not some specific calling that someone receives, for if it were a particular calling, some people could reach God and others could not. An aspect that, in turn, would be contrary to the fact that God is no respecter of persons, but offers everyone the same salvation and the condition of faith in Christ Jesus and His righteousness, in which there is no need for human mediators. One point that we are trying to emphasize in this chapter refers to the fact that if people are not aware of the multiple facets that are inherent or part of the unique upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, they are very liable to making inappropriate considerations about the specific callings that God has to extend to His most diverse children who still live on earth. In the unique upward calling of God and in the Lord's eternal purpose for people to come to believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord in their hearts, regardless of some other specific calling, there is also already the condition that, for instance, allows a person 1. To be a child of God. 2. To be a child of light. 3. To be the salt of the earth. 4. To be the light of the world, or to be like a light in a world full of corruption. 5. To be the living letter written to people, not with ink, but by the hand of the Holy Spirit. To be a living witness of God's doings in one's own life. 6. To be the fragrance of Christ in the world. 7. To be an instrument of God's righteousness and not an instrument of sin. 8. To be a living, holy, and acceptable sacrifice in the hand of God for the accomplishment of a diversity of aspects of the will of God. 9. To be a minister, a servant, of Christ in all actions in life in the present world. 10. To be a faithful steward to God of the Lord's mysteries, and who knows that the central aspect or mystery to be announced is always the one that presents that the newness of life of God and the riches of His glory are in Christ Jesus. 11. To be able to pray before God in favor of all human beings. 12. Having the name enrolled in the heavens or the book of eternal life. 13. To be sealed by the Holy Spirit and by the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart. 14. To be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And even much more. Repeating, then, once again, what is the upward invitation or general calling of God to all Christians? The general calling or invitation of God for every Christian, or for all Christians, is for them to draw closer to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Fellowship with Christ cannot be transferred nor mediated by another person. Therefore, this calling is general or for everyone, as it is available to every Christian, but it is also specific and personal since each Christian should practice it individually with the Lord. It is not at all reasonable or sober for an individual to have the expectation of oneself being fed through the act by which another person supposedly feeds oneself instead of the former. Each person is nourished by what each one consumes and not by what others feed themselves. Therefore, John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. The Lord Jesus Christ declares that whoever does not remain, first, in the upward calling of God, and which is according to the eternal purpose of the Heavenly Father, will not be able to reach the condition of bearing fruit resulting from the sovereign vocation, nor from the other specific callings of God since they are all given by the Lord to bear fruit from the upward calling of fellowship with Christ Jesus. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, so also no one can bear fruit according to God's will for one's life unless one first abides in the sovereign calling to be and remain in the fellowship with Christ Jesus, to which all are called by God. When the Lord Jesus teaches us that a Christian needs to abide in Him to be fruitful according to God's will, He is teaching us that even a specific calling has no life in itself. On the contrary, it is the being and abiding in what is associated with the sovereign calling of fellowship with Christ that provides life to particular callings. Therefore, before a person focuses on specific callings that may exist for him or her in God, it is essential to focus on God by whom one is called and perfected for the practice of good works. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he, Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The works of God to be done by a Christian are manifested to this Christian as a result of one's association and fellowship with Christ, which, in turn, is God's upward calling and eternal purpose for each of his children. Before people offer themselves to God for the most diverse callings and needs that there are to be met in the world, the Heavenly Father wants people to answer the calling of personal and individual fellowship with him, with his beloved Son, and with the Holy Spirit. God's eternal purpose that his children voluntarily converge to the Lordship of Christ is so that everyone who was bought by the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary may also be willing to be perfected by God and guided into all truth by the Holy Spirit. When will Christians, then, finally understand that the Lord's calling to them is to be children of God first so that Heavenly Father himself may instruct and perfect them in Christ Jesus? When will Christians stop seeking to improve themselves through other people, in their own schools, seminars, or other means instead of finally putting themselves directly before Christ to have genuine, deep, or meaningful fellowship with the Lord? Furthermore, how can an individual hear God's leading in specific callings from the heavenly kingdom if one does not open one's heart to fellowship with Christ, the King and Lord established by the Heavenly Father to guide and instruct one's life? Revelation 3:19-20. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. The door at which the Lord knocks is the door of every person's heart. And the house that he said he would enter to have fellowship is the life of each one of the people who open the door to him. Even if a Christian does not yet know the specific calling of what God wants to be done in some moments of one's life, every Christian has recorded in the Scriptures the calling or vocation to be in Christ Jesus at all times of one's life. A person's fellowship with Christ is offered to all who receive him as Lord, whether they are free or in prisons. Naturally speaking, fellowship with the Lord is personal, spiritual, made from the heart of an individual, and can be done wherever a person is, because the Spirit of the Lord is free to be with the children of God wherever they are. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Romans 8:14-16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Being able to walk with light in specific callings is a consequence of first walking in the light of the Father and his eternal and beloved Son Jesus Christ. And without answering the calling of personal fellowship with Christ, the possibility of acting in the diversity of other callings to do the good works that God beforehand prepared becomes highly restricted. On the other hand, when people remain in Christ Jesus, the Lord promises that He will cause them to become very fruitful in the Lord, a condition that He can manifest with great diversity according to the manifold wisdom of God. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. Jeremiah 17, 7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. When a Christian holds on the upward calling and the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus, the area, the profession, or the place that the Lord particularly calls the Christian to be and to act is a complementary aspect to one's living and walking in Christ, for the specific callings are only the means of manifesting the fruits which are generated in the Christian from the vine of God, which the Heavenly Father names as the Lord Jesus Christ. In the sovereign or upward vocation and the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus is the primary source of provision for all aspects or facets that a Christian needs to understand, receive, and carry out some specific calling or activity to which one has been called by the Lord. And this, whether the specific calling is related to personal, family, or professional aspects, or whether it is regarding one's relationships with other Christians or even with the most varied aspects of life. Colossians 2, 1-10. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. It is in continuing in the upward calling and the eternal purpose of God for fellowship and life in Christ Jesus that a person can find eternal life and, according to it, also be instructed and strengthened in specific aspects of how to cooperate with the eternal Lord, knowing, yet, that, in the Lord, there is an immeasurable diversity of gifts, services, or ministries, and achievements to be experienced by those who remain in Him. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, operations or works, but it is the same God who works all in all. The Lord knows how to call, instruct, enable, and provide everything for the natural and eternal life of each person, as well as everything that is pertinent to any specific calling that also comes from the heavenly kingdom to those who remain in Christ Jesus and who have Christ as their eternal source of the newness of life from the heavenly Father. So, concluding this chapter, and considering once again the essential condition that the theme of fellowship with Christ has for the whole life of every Christian, we would just like to remind here that this subject is even more widely discussed in other more specific themes, for the focus in the present material is more directed to highlighting the callings and vocations that a person has from God towards one's life. A more specific focus on the practice of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is also found in the themes The Letter or Life, Knowing About God or Knowing God, The Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ, as well as in the series The Life of the Christian in the World and Walking in Newness of Life.